It is January 17th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Our friends at Aventis have big smiles on their faces these days as they closed out a record year in 2022, according to a press release they issued this morning. Aventis also has plans for enhancing the Validus platform in 2023. The press release said Aventis more than doubled revenues from 2021 as more firms doing business in multiple asset classes across the globe deployed its customizable Validus platform and collaborated with Aventis experts in markets and regulatory affairs. Nice work. Keep it up. One thing has been certain during my six decades on this planet, and that has been the number of Chinese citizens would increase every year. Well, that did not happen in 2022 for the first time in 60 years. The New York Times reports the Chinese government today said that 9.56 million people were born in China last year, while 10.41 million people died. Births in China were down from 10.6 million in 2021, which was the sixth straight year of declines. China's population stands at 1.41 billion people. Patrick Young, in a LinkedIn version of his Exchange Invest newsletter, reported that Nick Carew Hunt, the longtime market secretary of Life, has passed away after a relatively short period of illness. CFTC Commissioner Christy Goldsmith Romero reported on LinkedIn that her office is looking for summer interns. You can find out more about the jobs with the link in today's newsletter. We're sending out invoices for the 2023 subscriptions to JLN. The cost of an individual subscription is $200, and an enterprise subscription for firms with five or more readers is $150 per reader. If you are just an occasional reader of JLN and don't feel like the $200 is appropriate for the value you receive, there is another choice. You are welcome to make a contribution to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign at a level you feel comfortable with, and you can do it under your own name or anonymously. We will still know who is making the contribution by the email attached and will credit your account, something to consider to help give us the resources to provide you with the newsletter that you are enjoying and finding valuable, if only occasionally. The UNEP FI Regional Roundtable North America 2023 is taking place online and in Toronto, Canada on March 1st, 2023 from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. EST at the Sheridan Center Toronto Hotel. The event will convene members and supporting institutions of the United Nations Environment Finance Initiative, that's UNEP-FI, as well as regulators, civil society, policymakers, and academia to discuss the future of sustainable finance in the region. In-person attendance is limited. You can learn more and register with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First, from The Atlantic. The new case for social climbing. Meritocracy is make-believe. It's all about who you know. I was born to be a social climber. The Evita score was ever present on my grandparents' stereo when I was growing up, and I idolized Eva Perón, who made her way from poverty to the highest echelons of government and society. She was a woman who, at the least from the musical's point of view, saw clearly where she was in life and decided she wasn't going to stay there. My comment, interesting story that rings too true from my experience. Here's a story from Decrypt. The headline, Scaramucci recalls betrayal by SBF. I considered him a friend. Anthony Scaramucci detailed his close relationship with former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, his family, and how he felt after the extent of the FTX collapse came to light during a panel discussion at the World Economic Forum in Davos. "I had a close relationship with Sam Bankman-Fried. I considered him a friend," Scaramucci said during Casper Labs' Blockchain Hub event. "So I have to tell you that the betrayal and fraud, it's bad on a lot of different levels. It certainly hurt me reputationally." My comment: Anthony Scaramucci has been friendly to me. I would give him this advice: if he wants a friend, get a dog. This is what SBF did. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline: investors should be cautious about forces driving the New Year's rally. Financial markets have started the new year in a buoyant mood, bolstered by an elusive alignment of stronger global growth prospects, falling inflation, and less hawkish central banks. The broad-based rally in asset prices and the resulting loosening of financial conditions have opened the way for issuers to tap the capital markets for funding at quite attractive levels relative to those in 2022. My comment: it is the risks you can't see that are the ones to really worry about. Here is another story, this one from Bloomberg. China's population shrinks to 1.41 billion in 2022, first drop in six decades. China's population started shrinking in 2022 for the first time in six decades, the latest milestone in a worsening demographic crisis for the world's second largest economy. The country had 1.41 billion people at the end of last year, 850,000 fewer than at the end of 2021, according to data released by the National Statistics Bureau on Tuesday. That marked the first drop since 1961, the final year of the Great Famine under former leader Mao Zedong, and coincided with figures showing China's economy expanded last year at the second slowest pace since the 1970s. My comment: at first, I thought this was a Marvel headline related to an upcoming Ant-Man movie. Here's another story, this one also from Bloomberg. Who Owns Your Coins? A podcast. A bankruptcy judge has ruled that thousands of former Celsius customers don't own their own accounts. The case could have far-reaching implications. It was an unwelcome ruling for about 600,000 Celsius account holders who are probably wishing they'd read the fine print more closely before investing, or put more stock in the crypto mantra, "Not your keys, not your coins." Earlier this month, federal bankruptcy judge Martin Glenn found that when people deposited assets with the now-bankrupt crypto lender Celsius, and in exchange received interest on those deposits, those assets became the property of Celsius. That makes customers of the so-called Celsius Earn program unsecured creditors who are unlikely to get all their money back from the lender. Again, because, well, bankruptcy. My comment: high returns equal high risk equal unforeseen risk. Here's another story from Bloomberg. UK penny stock with China ties can't explain sudden 4,900% surge. Grand Vision Media Holdings PLC can't explain a surge in its stock price after the tiny London-listed firm rallied as much as 4,900% in 2 days. The company notes the movement in its share price and confirms that it knows of no commercial or operational reason for the increase. It said in a statement on Tuesday, Grand Vision Media, founded in Hong Kong, makes 3D billboards and has installed over 200 screens in Chinese cities, according to its website. My comment: shouldn't that be a pence stock? Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was the crypto collapse and the end of the magical thinking that infected capitalism, an opinion piece in the New York Times from a Harvard business and Harvard law professor. Second was Sam Bankman-Fried was a spiteful and insecure boss who gaslit anyone who challenged him, FTX's former U.S. chief says from Business Insider. Third was a millennial founder who sold her company to J.P. Morgan for $175 million, allegedly paid a college professor $18,000 to fabricate 4 million accounts. Their email exchange is a doozy from Fortune. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, a story from the Financial Times. The headline, TSX slams Canada over Chinese lithium divestment order. Exchange says intervention threatens free flow of capital on which mining companies rely. The Toronto Stock Exchange has called on Canada's government to do more to replace lost capital after Ottawa ordered three Chinese companies to divest their stakes in Canadian producers of critical minerals. Dean McPherson, head of business development for mining at TSX's operator TMX Group, said the intervention by Justin Trudeau's government risked harming the free flow of capital on which mining companies rely to explore and develop resources. The next story is from the Financial Times as well. Euronext to switch derivatives clearing to Italy in 2024. Exchange Group prepares to move financial and commodity derivatives away from French capital to Milan. Euronext has agreed to a deal to move part of its clearing business from a subsidiary of the London Stock Exchange Group, reducing its reliance on its British rival in a controversial area of Europe's capital markets. Euronext, the biggest operator of stock markets in Europe, has agreed to a 36 million euro termination fee with London Stock Exchange Group that ends a dispute between the two over the future of clearing of Euronext's equity, derivatives, and commodity business. And then finally, here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Central bank digital currencies are coming whether countries are ready or not. The game-changing development could have a profound impact on the banking system, but few people understand it. Central bank digital currency doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but you might want to get used to saying it. These so-called CBDCs, or digital versions of dollars, yuan, euros, yen, and other currency, are coming, say those who study them. And depending on how they are designed and rolled out, their impact on the banking system could be profound. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the Daily John Lothian Newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.